Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Good Monday morning to you, 35 minutes after the hour. I hope everyone is doing well. Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. A lot going on in the world, so I'm glad we could get him on today. Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing the same. It's a busy time, if you can't imagine right now, but just so much uncertainty in this new brave new world we're in.
Unfortunately, that is the case, compounded by COVID-19. But the normal election uncertainty is upon us, as it is every election.
Yeah, and you don't know what to expect, who's going to show up to vote. All the polling, say what you will, it's just based on these old methodologies or these old assumptions that I think in now with COVID-19, we don't know who's going to come out to vote, what that's going to look like. And it's really, I guess this is more of a game of wait and see now.
It is. What's unique about this election is that over, I think it's 25 million people have already voted now. So they're not going to be able to change their votes based on information they receive over the last 2 or 3 weeks of the campaign. And often that is the most revelatory information that comes out in a campaign. And so I'm mildly surprised by those who have already voted early, particularly if there's any chance at all that they might go one way or the other. Of course, if you're solid in for Biden and you're solid in for Donald Trump, go ahead and vote early. It doesn't make any difference. But if there's information that might change your opinion, I encourage those folks to wait until Election Day and go vote at the polls like I'm going to vote.
Well, let's talk about information that might change people's mind. I'm not convinced this is necessarily going to do that, though it might. This Hunter Biden episode, New York Post has a story last week, and it details some of Hunter Biden's, son of Joe Biden's, business relationships with some nefarious actors around the globe, and also his father, Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential nominee's potential involvement. What's your reaction to that's going on to all that there?
To me, being in Congress and having examined this kind of information for a considerable period of time, it's somewhat old news. We know that the Biden family syndicate has been paid millions of dollars by foreign interests in order to try to influence the policy of the United States of America. In this particular instance, the go-between guy was Hunter Biden, and the target was Joe Biden. And the amount of money was in the millions upon millions of dollars. Two principal countries, by way of example, were Ukraine and China. Ukraine, I'm not so concerned about. It shouldn't happen where the son of a vice president, in cooperation with the vice president, is taking large sums of money in order to influence foreign policy of the United States of America, maybe for the good, maybe for the worse. But usually when money's exchanging hands, it's not for the public's interest. But China, on the other hand, China is our number one rival in the globe today. Economically, foreign trade, militarily, philosophy of government, they're a dictatorial regime that engages in slavery. We are a regime in America, a republic, based on freedom and liberty, two diametrically opposing philosophy of government. So I'm very troubled that Hunter Biden took millions upon millions of dollars from the Communist Chinese Party or its surrogates and used that money to influence as best he could Joe Biden, the vice president. And the one little twist that's come out recently is it appears that now there's proof that Joe Biden was lying when he did not know what his son, Hunter Biden, was up to.
Right. But I guess, and by extension of that, this could impact the election, but it's not necessarily making the rounds. It's one of these October surprises that we're going to find out just how much, power the media have and not just TV, print, or whatever the big tech has to keeping this kind of out of the public, presence.
And that is the shame, the censorship that is being conducted by Google, by Facebook, by Twitter, and the suppression of this kind of information that the public should know about, that is being engaged in by what I call the fake news media, the mainstream news media, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, Washington Post, New York Times. They're all in the tank for the Socialist Party in this election. And as a consequence, the information that the public should normally have readily available for them to consider as they ponder which direction to go with our country, it's not there.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a role for the federal government to play in this, that, particularly with the big tech companies, maybe not so much the other media outlets, the mainstream media outlets, but because they have that special carve out, the Section 230, I believe it's called, that gives them some kind of liability protections in some circumstances? Does the federal government need to take a closer look at these big tech companies and their relationships with maybe certain political parties?
If a distributor of communication is going to engage in censorship, then they should lose their immunity from lawsuits for defamation of character, slander, libel. And I'm all for removing that kind of immunity from the big tech companies in particular. But unfortunately, the Socialist Democrats are the beneficiaries, and we don't have the votes to get things through because the public, for whatever reason, has put the Socialist Democrats in charge of the House of Representatives and given them blocking power in the Senate, where the 60-vote rule is still in place, where you have to have a 60% majority to pass substantive legislation unrelated to budgets.
Well, and Congress can make it really hard for these companies, though. You can bring them, make them testify or subpoena them. I mean, like, just how far should the legislative branch in Washington, D.C., and, Trump's reelected, just how far should they go with pursuing this?
Well, we can try to embarrass the big tech companies, their management, and their owners, but that's the extent of it. And in the minds of the Socialist Democrats, when we do this, the big tech companies, are heroes. So there's not any embarrassment when a significant amount of the public that is the beneficiary of this censorship likes the censorship. And that's kind of, in a different light, a big threat to whether the republic is going to properly function or not. You know, in the Soviet Union, in China, you've got the Communist Party that controls the flow of information, which in turn controls a lot of other things. If you have that happening in a republic, then you very much undermine the validity of the vote. How is it undermined? It's undermined by voters who are not well-informed. And they won't be well-informed if they get a one-sided portrayal of everything that is transpiring.
It just, and they don't, it just is, I guess, there doesn't seem like there is much you can do at this point. But I got to wonder, after the election, no matter who wins, do we think we see some activity on this front?
I would hope. Now, what we're doing on our side of the fence is we're trying to publicize what is going on. So if you like censorship, then go ahead and vote Socialist Democrat. But if you like freedom of speech, then don't vote Socialist Democrat. Vote for the Republican alternative that will try to put these so-called masters of the universe, these big tech multi-billionaire giants, in their place.
Joined by Congressman Bo Brooks, Alabama's 5th Congressional District, here on the program. Let's move on. Elections, the days are ticking. We're just a little over 2 weeks out. How do you feel today?
Well, I have a lot of uncertainty. I don't know how it's going to end up. I see the public polling. I see some of the better conducted private polling, which shows the Republicans doing considerably better than the public polling, akin to what we saw in 2016. Whether it's good enough, I don't know. The two big wild cards are this mail-in voting scheme, where people are voting early before they have full information at their disposal with which to make an informed decision, and then voter fraud. I personally believe that there's going to be more voter fraud this election than any election in the history of the United States. There are going to be more ballots that were cast and not counted, and there are going to be more people voting two, three, four, or five times than has ever occurred before, because the lack of ballot box safeguards against the kind of voter fraud that is always conducted in elections, but never so easily and so massively as I anticipate it will be conducted in this election. And for anyone who wants background on this, there's a really good New York Post article from about a month ago where they interviewed a person who was an expert in conducting voter fraud and stealing elections. And he detailed, itemized, how he did things even when it was more difficult. Who knows how much voter fraud there's going to be when it's made easier, where no voter identification is required, or where ballots are mailed to a resident, which may or may not be the correct address. Or if it's a Republican neighborhood, those ballots just might be delayed or lost at the post office. You know, the Postal Union has, if I recall correctly, endorsed the Socialist Democrats in this election, just about across the board. So that's scary. And I've been a victim of voter fraud before. In my first election, roughly 25%, 11 out of 45 voting machines were rigged by the Democrats to register votes for my opponent, but not me. So there are 11 machines where it was racking up a grand total of zero until we were able sometime during the day to get 10 of those 11 machines fixed.
Well, tell me this. If there's doubt about the election process, and I think there will be doubt no matter who's wins on both sides, the country is going to have to weather a lot of division. Does that element warn you that with a public that doesn't have confidence in elections, what that might lead to?
Well, there ought to be division. And the reason I say there ought to be division is simple. The Democrats have become the Socialist Party of America. The Republicans are the party of the United States Constitution, the foundational principles that have made us the greatest nation in world history, principally including liberty and freedom. Liberty and freedom are like oil and water when you compare it to the dictatorial nature of socialism. Socialism is where the government tells you what you can and cannot do because you're not, as a person, smart enough to do it yourself. Therefore, you need these bureaucrats in their windowless cubicles in basement nondescript buildings in Washington, D.C., ordering you around. And you see that, like, just with light bulbs. What kind of light bulbs you can buy? It's across the board how much the federal government is dictating to us, the citizens, what we can and cannot do. And there ought to be a division between those two philosophies of government, because one is the antithesis of the other. I'm for liberty and freedom. The socialists and Democrats are not, because they don't trust the American people to be smart enough to make wise decisions. That's wrong if you're going to believe in a republic.
Well, let me ask it a different way, that we settle these divisions, these differences at the ballot box. If the ballot box is in question and people don't have enough trust in it, might that lead to trying to settle this somewhere else?
Yes, it might.
Because the unrest, will we see more turmoil than we're seeing right now? And I'm not necessarily suggesting that would come, but it does seem like when you start having these crises of confidence in our institutions, that people will react accordingly.
Yes, and we have a history of fighting for liberty and freedom. To what degree will we fight? I don't have the answer to that, but in this instance, if there is a growing concern, and I have a growing concern about the validity of the election results because of the risk associated with voter fraud, then yeah, I'm going to question some of these elections. I personally am of the opinion that the Socialist Democrats have illegally stolen elections before. I've seen it in Alabama on at least one occasion. I believe it in and that one wasn't me, by the way. I still won my election, even though the Democrats rigged 11 of the machines, voting machines, not to register my votes when you tried to vote for them. One location, it went so far that the voting officials started making public statements. If you want to vote for Mo Brooks, go sign your name on the wall over there. So you lost your secret ballot right, but at least you were able to still vote. Now, fortunately, we still prevailed. Unfortunately, the Democrats back then in 1982, who were in control of the process, did absolutely nothing to prosecute the individual who was responsible for rigging those voting machines, and that was most disconcerting. So, yeah, if we don't have confidence in our election system, I expect people who believe in liberty and freedom to react accordingly to defend the rights that were guaranteed by the Constitution and the rights that were earned through the death of hundreds of thousands of Americans who have fought in various wars on behalf of liberty and freedom. Now, how far will the American population go today as opposed to, say, the 1770s and 80s, as opposed to World War II? Just go down the list of the different conflicts we've been in. I don't know the answer to that.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there, but as always, thank you for making time for us.
Sure, Jeff. I hope you enjoy the good weather down there in Mobile Bay Area, and I hope that the Bay Area is recovering from the recent hurricane. I know some folks down there are still trying to do repairs, and you know, our thoughts are with you, and hopefully things will work out for the best over the long haul.
Yeah, well, thank you for the kind words. We certainly do appreciate that down here. We'll talk again real soon. Thanks for coming on this morning.
My pleasure. Take care.
It's Congressman Mo Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, of Alabama's 5th Congressional District. Got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.